Send us the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, that he may testify about you. Amen. A group of attractive young people enjoy a day at the beach. One group is lying on towels on the sand, soaking in the sun. Another is riding the waves, laughing as they splash over them and knock them over, all that stuff. Another is gathered around a grill as juicy burgers are served. And it seems like nothing could possibly make this a better day until you hear the barbershop quartet singing in the background. And they proclaim exactly what'll do it. Apparently, it's Coca-Cola. Things are better with Coke, it says, and sure enough, as tops are popped and cold, refreshing Coke is swigged, the smiles get even bigger when things are going great. What'll make it even better is Coca-Cola. Or so the advertiser would have you believe. But what about when things aren't going great? What about when the person that you've always had there to bounce things off of, to give you advice, to give you the perspective that you need isn't there anymore, and all you want is to be able to talk to them again? What about when it seems like you're doing all the right things, but instead of drawing people in, it seems to push them away? What about when you're alone at home and it seems like the whole world is against you? What then? What'll make it better then? Maybe you reach for a Coca-Cola, but my guess is it takes more than a soft drink to make that situation okay again. What do you need when it's not a sunny day at the beach, but a day filled with loneliness, feelings of abandonment, guilt, fear? Today Jesus teaches us, don't look in the cooler for a source of courage and strength. Look to him. He promises to send the advocate, the counselor, the divine helper to be with us and to give us what we need. He promises that when he comes, he will be the one that makes sure that we are never alone. And so Jesus teaches us that maybe things are better with Coke, but even when that doesn't cut it, everything is better with the Spirit. In John chapters 14 through 17, which is right in the middle, is where our reading for today comes from. In John chapters 14 through 17, Jesus is speaking to his disciples in the upper room on the night that he would be betrayed. And he knows what's coming. He knows that he is about to be taken from them, and he's arrested and condemned and executed on a cross. And he knows that after that he will rise from the dead. But then 40 days later, he will be taken from them again as he ascends into heaven. His visible presence will no longer be with them. And this prospect that he's now communicating to his disciples is very distressing for those men and women. Because up to this point, Jesus has always been the one who has guided and led them. Jesus has always been the one who has been there to bounce those ideas off of, to correct them when they strayed. Jesus has always been the one that when the Jewish leaders opposed and contradicted and hated them, well, he was the one who took all of that attention, that negative attention. He was the one who had absorbed it for them so it didn't fall on them. But once he was gone, what would be left? They would be the ones who would bear the brunt of the world's fury. They would be the ones who are cast and cut to the wind to be pushed this way and that way all on their own. But Jesus promised that he wasn't going to be leaving them alone. He promised, we read it just a minute ago, that he would be sending to them someone to stay by their side, even when they couldn't see him with them. He would send the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father. In other words, Jesus would no longer be visibly present with them, but they would not be alone. He would be sending none other than the third person of the Trinity, God himself, the Holy Spirit, to be with them and to never leave them. Now, this is an amazing thing, not least because Jesus also says something puzzling. In the translation we read just a minute ago, he said, "It is for your good that I am going away." But the way he phrases it in Greek, it's the language of upgrade. It's the language of advantage, of preference. Jesus is saying, it's better for you if I go away and send the Spirit. He says, unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus wants you to know that it is so important for you to have the Holy Spirit, that if we were given a choice between having Jesus in the room with us and having the Spirit, Jesus would want us to choose the Spirit. If we were to choose between Jesus face-to-face conversation and what the Holy Spirit does for us, Jesus says, life is better with the Spirit. Do you believe him? You see, I don't know about you, but I've had those times when I've thought to myself, really a whole lot better if Jesus had never ascended. When you're sitting there feeling like you're all alone, wouldn't it just be the best thing in the world for Jesus to sit down next to you and put his arm around your shoulders? When you feel like the whole world is stacked up against you, and not just in the abstract, but the people of the world are stacked up against you, looking for a way to trip you up and make you fall. But when you feel like that, wouldn't it be the most comforting thing in the world to know, to see Jesus ruling over it all, and to be able to ask him and have him answer what in the world he's doing with your life? When things are not going great, we long to see Jesus with our own eyes, don't we? But Jesus tells us here that having the Spirit, having the Holy Spirit, is actually better. How? Jesus says that the Spirit is the advocate. That's a term that maybe we aren't used to hearing in this context, the advocate. When you think of that word, we think maybe of someone who speaks up for people whose voice isn't heard on their own. Maybe we think of someone who takes up a cause and promotes it. Maybe we think of a legal advocate, someone who helps someone, speaks for someone in a court of law. And really all those ideas are not inappropriate when we think about the Holy Spirit. He is the advocate. But what they all have in common is that an advocate is someone who provides what someone lacks. If they don't have a voice that can be heard in the proper forms, an advocate speaks up for them. If they don't have the expertise, the know-how to argue a case in court, an advocate brings that expertise to bear. And so, the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is the advocate that we need. The one who comes alongside us and who provides the strength, the power, the comfort, the identity, everything that we need. And what makes the Holy Spirit even better than a human advocate is that he doesn't just come alongside us. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. This is what makes it better for us to have the Spirit than for Jesus to be standing right next to us. Because if Jesus were with us in the same way that he were with his disciples, or he was with his disciples during his earthly ministry, he would be bound to one location. Our access would be limited by, well, the amount of space in the room, the amount of attention, the amount of sound that his ears could pick up. But now that Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father, now that he rules over all things and has taken up the full use of his divine attributes of omnipotence, all powerfulness, of omnipresence, being present everywhere, now that he's taken up those divine attributes in full again, now he is able to be with each and every one of his believers in each and every moment. Now, the Holy Spirit, when he works, brings Jesus to be present with you always, just as he promised, to the very end of the age. He makes him present not next to you, but in you. As he brings you to faith in Jesus, he sets up a throne for him in your heart, and Jesus moves in and sets up shop right there, so that you are never far from him, so that you are always in full access to him. This, your relationship with Jesus, is better with the Spirit. Now, how does this Holy Spirit do this? Jesus tells us he does it by testifying. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." This is what the Holy Spirit does. He testifies. He bears witness about Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants nothing more than to speak about Jesus, about who he is, about what he has done, about what it means for people like you and me. He wants to be all about the truth, capital T. That's why Jesus calls him the Spirit of truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He wants to bear the truth of Jesus. He wants to bring the truth of Jesus to bear on hearts and minds and to show where the world has spoken the devil's lies, to banish them with the truth of God's love in Christ. The Holy Spirit works through witness, through testimony, through a message about Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit works through a message, through testimony, through a witness, we have to understand where that witness, where that testimony is given. Jesus says next, in the very next sentence, right? "And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Jesus is not saying that there are two different kinds of testimony, two different kinds of witness. At some times the Spirit is witnessing, and at other times his disciples are witnessing. No, what he's saying is that when the Holy Spirit comes, he testifies. And when he testifies to you, he moves you to testify as well. And so when the Holy Spirit testifies, God's people testify. And when God's people bear witness to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is also bearing witness to Jesus. Your testimony about Jesus, your witness of what God has done for you in Christ, is the Holy Spirit's witness about Jesus. God puts his power behind your words. God, the Holy Spirit, makes Jesus present in people's hearts and lives through the message about Jesus that we, his people, speak. We get an amazingly vivid illustration of this in Ezekiel's vision that we heard, right, don't we? Right, God plops Ezekiel down in a valley full of bones, dead and dry and dusty. And you think about it, God could have made a very impressive point about his independent power in that moment, couldn't he? If he would have shown Ezekiel that he could simply raise these bones to life with no involvement from the prophet. But he didn't do it. Instead, what did he do? He gave Ezekiel words to say. He told him to speak. And as he did, God worked through his words. The Spirit came, not just the Spirit, right? Flesh and tendons, skin over him to make these dusty, dead bones fully alive. And then, not just that, but the breath, remember? And that word for breath in the Hebrew can also be translated spirit. It's the same word. The Spirit came and filled those dead bodies with life at the word of Ezekiel given to him by God. The point? God has chosen to work through the testimony, through the witness, through the words of those who know and have seen what God has done for them. This, we have to understand, puts amazing, incredible power on our lips. When we speak, God unites himself with our words about Jesus and works a miracle. He does something through our message and testimony that is impossible, humanly speaking. And yet, because God's power is attached to this message, it does what it should not be able to do. Not according to our will, of course. This isn't a Bruce Almighty kind of situation, right? But God uses us and our testimony to accomplish his will. And what is his will? A real life, spiritual resurrection on an even greater scale than what Ezekiel saw in his vision. Through the testimony of believers in Jesus, God the Holy Spirit enters into dead in sin hearts and he puts Jesus there. And because Jesus has taken all of that person's sin on himself and died for it, and then rose then again to life, never more to die, Jesus' life takes hold in that heart. All of a sudden, the Spirit of truth shows the lies of the world to be what they are, lies about sin and about righteousness and about judgment. And he holds before them the God who had sent his Son to take their place in death and now has gone ahead of them into life. When you see a God who loves you like that, when the Holy Spirit reveals him so fully in the gospel, how can you not call on that Lord, call on that Savior, and just as Peter preached and Joel prophesied, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The thing is, though, that even after the Holy Spirit speaks this life into being in our hearts, even after he calls us to faith, we still have days that aren't all trips to the beach. We have days just like the first disciples of Jesus, that would be filled with rejection. Rejection of the world. We live in a world, because we live in Jesus, we live in a world that is not our home. We're meant for something better, something greater. And so the world opposes us. It hates us just like it hated Jesus. We still have days when we struggle with feelings of loneliness and abandonment. We still have days when we fight against the guilt that saddles our conscience. And Jesus knows this. That's why he didn't just send the Holy Spirit on that first day of Pentecost. That's why Jesus continues to send the Spirit to his people, to you and me, every day. He does it through testimony. He does it through the witness that, yes, those first apostles gave, that they wrote down and recorded for us and many more in Scripture. And where those witnesses, those testimonies of the apostles are read and heard and believed and dwelt upon, there Jesus promises to be. There the Holy Spirit brings him to speak into our hearts again, his comfort and his forgiveness and his hope and his joy in the supper. When the pastor speaks Jesus' words again, "This is my body. This is my blood for the forgiveness of sins." There the Holy Spirit works through those words, that testimony about Jesus, that he is truly there, and he makes it so. He brings Jesus to be with us, to bring all of the blessings of his sacrifice on the cross and his empty tomb to bear on our hearts. He dispels the lies of Satan, and he makes us partakers in the true and present Jesus. In the testimony, not only of Scripture written down on the page, but also of the living body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, bought with Christ's own blood and united with us into one spiritual family. And in your words, as you bear witness to what Jesus has done for you and your neighbor, he makes Jesus present among us as we comfort and encourage, as we remind and bring truly again God's forgiveness to our neighbor. Yes, Jesus is truly with us to the very end of the age. In bread and wine and water and word, better with Spirit. So, not every day will be a beach day. Some days will be a slog. Days that you wonder if you're going to make it through. But Jesus hasn't left you alone. He has sent the Advocate to come alongside you, to dwell within you, to make Jesus present every day. And you know where to find him. In the means of grace. Never spend a single day without him. Drink deeply from the Spirit's overflowing fountain of grace in God's word and in his sacraments. Engage with the witness given by the prophets and the apostles and by your fellow believers. And while you're at it, be a witness yourself. Be the one through whom the Spirit speaks Jesus' presence into the hearts of another. Because after all, wouldn't their life be better with the Spirit too? Amen.